We read the Word of God tonight from 1 Peter chapter 5. The text that we consider is verse 7, which was the basis for the Word of God that I brought on New Year's Day at the Faith Congregation. It's a fitting passage for the new year, but it's a fitting passage for all times. We'll read 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We consider tonight verse 7, one of the very comforting passages that we find in Scripture, the call to cast our care upon God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When we read 1 Peter chapter 5, we recognize right away those first four verses are directed to the office bearers, especially to the elders, but also to the pastor and to the deacons. The elders are identified in verse 1 by their office. The word there refers to their age, but the meaning is not to refer to men of a certain age, but as our form for the installation of office bearers indicates, this word points to their office as rulers in the congregation. They are the ones who govern the congregation. Verse 2 refers to the elders' calling, their work. Feed the flock of God. Literally, shepherd the flock of God. Use the Word of God to spiritually feed, to shepherd God's people. And then the elders are called to take the oversight of the flock that God has appointed them as rulers over. So verse 1 points to their office. Now, here's the work of that office. Your rulers, now rule, take oversight over the people of God. And as I prayed, I remind you that the form for the installation of office bearers calls you as a congregation to open yourselves up and to submit to the rule of your elders. The office bearers are told here, the elders especially, of how sober they are to be about their work. They are to recognize that they work not with the congregation as their own property, but as the flock of God, God's heritage, that is God's purchased possession. And the Apostle Peter says to them, you are to labor not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. This all applies, or much of it applies, to the deacons and to the pastor as well, that they are to remember that they labor in the congregation as those who instruct and feed through instruction, but who also lead the way by being examples to the flock. And then comes that great promise in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's the encouragement to the faithful elder, first of all, but the faithful deacon and pastor as well. Now, right after that, Peter gives instruction to the entire congregation. You can see that in verse 5. He begins by speaking to the younger, but then he says, yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. And this carries on into the text that we consider tonight in verse 7. When the apostle says when he says in this text, cast your care upon God, he's not speaking only to the office bearers, but he's speaking to everyone in the congregation. This is God's calling for the young and the old. Cast your care upon God, for he careth for you. But I will say this tonight, that there is a sense in which this word applies, first of all, to the office bearers, to the elders here in Kalamazoo Protestant Reformed Church. Verse 3, remember, says that they are to be in samples or in examples to the flock. And that involves many different things, but we can say in particular that that involves this. Be an example of one who casts his care upon God. Let this be where all of the members of the congregation, what all the members of the congregation can see in the office bearers here. These are men who don't carry their own burdens. These are men who are not proud and self-sufficient. These are men who are examples of humility, who bring their concerns to God. And then let it be said that the young people, the fathers, the mothers, the elderly people, all of the people of God, as they shoulder their burdens, can say, I follow the example of my office bearers and casting my burdens upon God. This is, of course, very important for the work of the office bearers, the elders, and the deacons. They know, and you as a congregation know, that God has placed upon them a very great burden. I don't know. Perhaps there is a first-term elder or deacon here in this congregation. Those first-term office bearers especially recognize the burden of their labor and their insufficiency. How can I ever do this work on my own? And the answer is there's no room for any pride in the offices. Let no man think that he can do the work on his own, but he must cast his care upon God. But now this is important for you as a congregation tonight. How do you ask, cast your care upon God? And there are many ways that you are to do that, and we're going to look at that, especially in the second point of the sermon tonight. But this is one way that you can answer that question. Through the office bearers, the men that God has appointed to watch over you, go to those men and cast your care upon God by doing that. And this text then also helps keep things in proper perspective. Very important for the office bearers and also for the members of the congregation. These men are means, and remember that, mere means. Don't ever look to any man as the one upon whom you're going to cast your cares. But remember that it's always our calling to cast our cares upon God and God alone. The men that God has appointed to office are mere servants, and that must be kept in mind by those men and the congregation. But now, tonight, the beginning of this week and still towards the beginning of 2020, we focus on our calling to cast our care upon God. Now notice that this is where our focus needs to be. Not on merely thinking about the future. We like to do that. And I'm not saying that we may never think about the future. When a new year begins or a new week begins, we look ahead. And maybe there are many things in this coming week that you're anticipating. Things that you're looking forward to. You're saying, that's going to happen and that's going to bring me some happiness, some joy. Or maybe, and this is perhaps more common, you're looking ahead to what's going to happen this week and you're concerned about the things that are going to cause you pain, the trials, the difficulties that you will face. Maybe already tonight, in the past week, you have a trial that you expect you're going to carry with you in the coming week. Or maybe you're not in a particular trial right now, but you're anticipating something. And you wonder, what could happen this week or in the next month or even later in the year? And you're wondering, am I the one who's going to get that phone call that breaks my heart? Am I the one who's going to get a report from the doctor that causes me grief? Am I the one who's going to have trouble in my family in this week or in this month? And the reality is, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. This Word of God takes our focus off of something that we can't really know and puts our focus on something that we can know, our calling. Our calling to take whatever burden we have and to cast that on the Lord and the promise. Let your focus be on this. The Lord cares for you. Let's consider that for a little while tonight under the theme, Casting Our Care Upon God. We're going to consider in the first place our anxious care. And then secondly, we're going to look at the calling. I didn't mean to make the second point exactly the same as the sermon theme. There we're going to look at our calling to cast our care on God. And then thirdly, the blessed relief. What makes you anxious? What causes you worry? When Peter says, cast your care upon God, that word care literally refers to anxiety, to worry. That's how it's used in many other places in Scripture. And so when Peter speaks of care here, that ought to make you and me think of whatever it is that makes us anxious. Whatever it is that raises perhaps our heartbeat, whatever it is that can consume our thoughts, the thoughts of our minds, so that even though we try very hard to pay attention to other things, there is this thing that we can't seem to let go of. It's something we care about that we become anxious about, that we are consumed by. What is it that causes your thoughts to race? What is it that maybe keeps you from falling asleep at night? Or maybe you do fall asleep, but this is something that causes you to wake up in a cold sweat. What is it that during the day you find yourself thinking about constantly that you cannot let go and you cannot concentrate on other things? Have you had the experience where you're at home and you're trying to do other chores, but you just can't seem to get anything done because there's something consuming your mind? Or maybe you've been sitting at the computer and you're trying to do some work on the computer, typing an email, and you recognize that you've been doing that for a long time because, well, you're worried about something in particular. Or maybe you've even been in a conversation in the home or in the workplace, face to face with someone, and find that you're not really concentrating on that conversation because there's something that's consuming your thoughts and you are anxious. Whatever that may be. And the point is that that can be almost anything. Whatever that may be, that's what Peter's referring to as a care. Whatever causes you anxiety, whatever causes you worry, that's a care that needs to be cast upon God. Maybe you don't think about this, but it could be persecution. 1 Peter is written to saints who are scattered abroad because of persecution. And Peter is writing to these Christians as pilgrims and strangers in the world. And even if we don't feel the heat of persecution like they did, the reality is that that's our identity too in the world. We're pilgrims. That means that this is not our home. We're just passing through. We have our eye on heaven. Heaven is our home. But that means also this, in the second place, we're different from the people of the world. The people of the world hate us. We are spiritually their enemies. And if you don't have a care about this, then perhaps you should have some care about this. The office bearers, and parents especially, we need to be aware of the times that in which we live, the world in which we live. We need to be aware of the calling to prepare the congregation, to prepare our children and young people for the persecution that is coming. And we need to be aware, too, of our place in this world. When I stop and think about the sermons we put online, the truths that we preach in the Protestant Reformed churches, I think of the Standard Bearer that we publish and the other writings, magazines, things that we put on the internet, the positions we take, the sins that we condemn, the thinking of this world that we condemn. It's almost astounding to think that we don't face more persecution than we do. Don't we live in a country where many of the things that we stand for and that we boldly and publicly proclaim are hated? Don't we live in a country where there are many people who brand what we stand for hate speech? And aren't there many people going after people who believe and teach what we believe and teach? And yet, our pastors, our teachers in the Christian school, our students, they don't face much opposition. But Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, his second epistle, chapter 3, don't think that things are going to continue on as they always have. That's one of the things that scoffers say. Be aware of the fact that Peter's warning us persecution will come. Be aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. So, we as Christians need to be ready to face the heat as strangers in the midst of this world. To be hated, to be mocked, maybe someday to be told we may not buy and sell. Maybe someday to be put in prison, to be tortured, and even face the reality that Christians will be put to death. If you think about it, that is something that an office bearer, a parent, or any member of the church might become anxious over. Or maybe you don't think about that so much because the reality is we don't face the heat of persecution today. Maybe it's just the everyday trial, or not an everyday trial, an especially heavy trial. I don't know the trials that you face here in Kalamazoo Protestant Reformed Church. There may be trials of chronic illness. There may be trials of more severe life-threatening illnesses. There may be trials of death, the loss of loved ones or friends. Maybe some who are in a trial now already, or maybe some who in the coming weeks will face a new trial. And then there is the passage of time, too. That can cause anxiety and worry, even just getting older. We face that every time that the new year comes. We are faced with the reality that we aren't going to live here forever, that we live for but a brief time, and we see the signs of getting older. Maybe that's your care. You're not as fit as you used to be. Your eyes, your ears don't work the way that they used to work. Life is short, and you know that you're coming closer to the end. That's something that people spend much time worrying about in this world. Maybe it's a temptation to sin. Do you have a care about that? We sang of that in Psalter number 102, the burden of sin. You, as a regenerated child of God who has the gift of faith by God's grace, God has made you sensitive to sin, and you don't want to be overtaken by sin. But you're aware of your sins, personal sins. You're aware, too, of this world that is very good at encouraging sin and you are aware of the fact that you have an old nature that is very good at desiring whatever sin the world is promoting. There's an app, there is a website for all kinds of evil in the day in which we live. And maybe you're thinking, how am I going to deal with the temptations that I'm going to face tonight and in the coming week? How am I going to avoid falling deeply into sin? Or maybe it is simply your everyday calling. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ uses the word that Peter uses, the care of this world, to speak of just the ordinary, everyday responsibilities of life. And he refers to people who appear to be Christians for a while. They appear to be interested in God. They even come to the worship service, if you can put it that way, to hear the preaching of the word. They sit under the preaching of the word. But those cares become so all-consuming in their thoughts and their minds that they can't even think about the word that they're hearing. What the minister says doesn't really even enter into their minds through their ears. They're so anxious about not persecution or a trial, but just the things of everyday life. Maybe it's a mother. Tomorrow, I have to get up and take care of my family again. I have to cook. I have to clean. I have all these things that I have to accomplish in the coming week, and I don't have time to think about the word that is being preached. Maybe it's a father who is thinking about his calling to work in the workplace, to provide for his family, and all of the effort that's going to take in the coming week, all of the work that he has to do to care for his employer, his customers, paperwork is piling up. There's so many things to be anxious about. There isn't much time to think about God. Maybe it's a young person thinking about the assignments in school, the test that needs to be studied for, the paper that needs to be written. And then, if you think that way, maybe about the amount of work that you have to do and how that can become consuming, or maybe there's something very difficult, maybe some calling in your life that you find especially challenging, and you wonder, how am I going to be able to do this? It's too much for me. It causes that kind of anxiety and worry. Well, then you understand something of the care, the anxiety that office bearers sometimes go through. Sometimes it is the amount of work. I don't know what the workload is of the office bearers here, but sometimes caring for a congregation can be overwhelming just because of the amount of work that has to be done. For a pastor, maybe it's just all the work of writing 2 sermons for this week, and then he thinks, I have to write over 100 sermons in the coming year. That can cause anxiety. But sometimes it's not the amount, it's the nature of the work. Believe me when I say that the office bearers take very seriously the calling to oversee the souls of the members of this congregation. When the elders work with just maybe only one case of a marriage that is troubled, that can consume their thinking because they are so concerned about being careful, doing the work from the point of view of the Word of God, bringing advice that's going to help bring this husband and wife together in true reconciliation by the grace of Jesus Christ. And then there are the deacons who may be very burdened by one case of a widow, an orphan, somebody who is needy. They want to help in that need in the right way. It's hard not to worry, to become anxious, to lose sleep. Now, before we go on, to consider our calling to take those cares, cast them upon God, I want to underscore the reality that Peter recognizes. They're not just spiritual burdens that you face as the people of God. Physical burdens, emotional, mental, psychological problems that cause great difficulty and anxiety. And there may be someone here tonight who's thinking, well, the pastor is going to make this sound so simple. Peter here is telling us as the people of God to be spiritual, and this is the way to deal with all of your problems. if you want to be able to sleep at night, if you want to get over all of your worry, your fears, your anxiety, be spiritual about it. Pray, pray, pray some more, and everything will be fine. Peter doesn't deny the reality of persecution and how troubling that can be emotionally and mentally. Persecution is real and causes real pain. So is a broken bone. And the Apostle Peter is not saying to you as the people of God, and I'm not saying to you as the people of God, if you have a broken bone, pray. A broken bone is a real physical problem that requires some physical solution. And so even the brain, we can look at as a physical organ. And no one can say that if you have mental distress, maybe a chemical imbalance, maybe some real physical trauma caused to the brain because of some great abuse that has been suffered or trauma that has been gone through, all you have to do is pray. No. If you have a broken bone, go to the doctor. See him. And if you do have mental distress, it may be that you need to see an expert on treating troubles with the brain. Just as if you are suffering with your vision, you go see an eye doctor. If you're suffering with your hearing, you go and see an ENT. But that doesn't remove this question. When you do have that issue that is physical with your bones, with cancer, or you do have that issue that is mental with your mind, your mental state, are you going to seek only that kind of earthly help, or are you going to make it a matter of prayer? And are you going to deal with that from a spiritual point of view, bringing that burden to God? That's the perspective here of Peter. Those things are real, and because those are very real things that you're going through, you must go to God. He's an apostle, and he's saying, this is what you can expect of me. If you're going through physical, mental, emotional distress, I'm not the one who's going to address those things, but I'm going to address your spiritual need. And that's the way it ought to be with regard to the office bearers in this church too. You need medical care? Go see the experts on that. We're here to care for your souls and to call you to cast your care upon God. And that's the question. Do you see your spiritual need? Do you see how dependent you are upon God? Then you must cast that care upon God. Now, what does that mean? This isn't quite as easy as explaining how we can cast a physical burden off of ourselves onto someone else, is it? Maybe today, this afternoon, or maybe tonight, you'll be meeting with other people and you'll be bringing some food along with you. And maybe the wife or the mother will be carrying a burden and say, now here, I'm going to cast this burden on my husband or on my son. And then that mother doesn't carry that burden anymore. That burden is carried by the husband or the son. Well, we know God doesn't work that way. God doesn't say, here, you cast your burden upon me, and then I'm going to carry that burden, and you don't carry it anymore. You bring your daily responsibilities to God. He's not going to do the chores around the house for you so that you don't have to do them. And God is not going to do your work for you in the workplace when you bring that burden to Him. God will not take our old age, our sicknesses, our burdens away from us so that we don't have them anymore. But there's two things to keep in mind about God that will help us to understand what it means to cast our care upon Him. First of all, He is a personal God who knows our needs. That's why you can go to Him, in prayer especially, you can go to Him and you can tell Him about your needs, and He understands and He sympathizes with our needs. That is why you cannot take your cares to an idol. If you try to do that, you try to go to Baal, for example, and say, I'm going to cast my care upon Baal. I'm going to tell him about what's going on in my family. I'm going to tell him about what's going on in my job. He won't hear, he won't know, and he will not care. But we can bring whatever our burden is to Jehovah God, because he is a living God. And it's not that he needs to be informed of what we are facing. It's that we, carrying the burden by ourselves, that's the problem. And we cannot carry the burden by ourselves. We need to go to God. That's what God's instruction is. Bring it to me, and I will carry you. Secondly, our God is a powerful God. Once again, Baal is not. When you're lying awake at night, if you go to Baal, and I'm not telling you to do that, but if you would go to him and ask the question, can he help me deal with whatever distress I'm struggling with as a single person? The answer is no. What about in my marriage? Can he help me deal with whatever distress I may have in my marriage? The answer is no. What about the burden of sickness? What about the burden of an elderly saint? If you go to Baal and ask the question, can he help me deal with this? The answer, of course, is no. But what about God? Ask yourself that when you lie awake. Ask yourself that when during the day your thoughts are racing and you feel like things are spinning out of control. Be specific about whatever your burden is, whatever it is that is making you worried. Ask yourself, can God, does he have the power to help me in this burden? And of course, the answer is yes. And it's not this again, that he takes the burden from us so that we don't have that burden anymore. But the answer is this, that God takes us up with the burden, so that we are able to shoulder that burden as the weight doesn't fall upon us alone. It really falls upon God, who holds us up with the burden. Now that needs further explanation. And the office bearers of this congregation ought to be thinking this way. This is how we're going to teach the members of the congregation to bring their cares to God. This is what we will show them by our example as well. This is what it comes down to when we and when the members of the congregation have burdens. These three things. First of all, are you going to God? You see, casting your care upon God is an activity. It's an activity that requires effort. This isn't something that you can just sort of casually say, I'm going to give God my burden. This is like a fisherman who has a heavy lure, and he wants that lure to make it in the spot in the lake where there are actually fish, and he has to put some effort into it and casting that lure into the middle of the lake. Well, this may be one of the first questions that you need to be asked tonight, or maybe on another occasion if you say, I am burdened with worry and anxiety in my life, and I just don't seem to be able to find the answer for the physical problems that I'm having, the mental problems, the marriage problems, the relation problems that I'm having. The question is, are you bringing that to God? He knows our weakness. He knows that we cannot handle anything on our own. So don't say here, notice that God in any way minimizes our difficulties. We are the ones who minimize things. Think about that for a moment. If you ever find yourself not bringing anything to God, what that is saying is, I've got this. I don't need this to go to God. I can handle this on my own. And God's word to us in this text is, no, I know you. I am the all-powerful God. I know that you are weak and sinful, and that you must bring all your cares to me. And that might sound simple, but don't you understand and believe that that really can be the key to whatever worry or anxiety you're dealing with? Don't ignore it. Don't leave it behind, but put forth the effort to bring it to God. Secondly, casting your care on God means submission. Perhaps you say, I have been going to God. I have been telling Him about my fears, my worry, my anxiety, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. But then here's another question that may be appropriate for you. Have you been wearing yourself out in prayer trying to change God? Casting your care upon God doesn't mean that you go to Him and say, Lord, here's my burden now. Will you take it away? Will you do what I will, what I want to do so that my life will become better? But casting your care upon God means God is God. And I know that He is wise and I am ready to submit to whatever His will or plan is for my life. And so, have you been praying in this way? God, take my cancer, and it's only if you do that that I will be worry-free. God, change my spouse. God, give me more money. That's not casting your care upon God. That's complaining. But it's much different if you submit and pray for the grace to submit. Praying this way, God, I know that Thy will is good. Give me the grace to submit to whatever Thy plan is. Pray for that even more than the removal of the burden, for the grace to submit. And then thirdly, casting your care upon God means that you trust that God is doing good and will do you good. If you don't believe that, whatever your circumstance is, that will bring great anxiety and worry. But casting your care upon God means that you say, I believe everything that His Word says about not only His power, but also His love and His wisdom and His grace and His mercy. Then you may know that God cares for you. And let us remember, as Protestant Reformed people, we don't believe in common grace. We don't believe that God's love and that His care for us is dependent upon our circumstances. When everything is going well for us, then God is showing that He loves us. When everything is going south for us, then God is showing that He is displeased with us. No, we know God is a God of constant, sovereign, particular grace. No matter what the circumstances is, He loves us and He cares for us. And that knowledge brings the blessed relief. Cast your cares upon God, and the burden will become lighter. Don't you feel that? Not that the burden is taken away. Not that as an office bearer in the church you have no more responsibility, but the relief of saying, the care of this church doesn't depend upon me, but upon God who lifts me and the congregation up in His power. Doesn't that give relief to the father, to the mother in the covenant home? To be able to say, no, God hasn't relieved me of all of the burdens to care for, to instruct, to give an example to these children in this home. But it doesn't depend upon me. He holds me up and my children and family. And this applies to everything in life. When Peter says He careth for you, he's pointing to the God who never runs out of time, who never becomes impatient, who never runs out of power, who never becomes weak and unable to help us. And he's pointing to God and saying, this is an absolute. When I say He careth for you, I don't mean now here He's caring for you and there He might or He might not care for you, but whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, He careth for you. And then you say, but if that means He doesn't remove my sickness, prevent death, take away my trial, my burden, whatever that may be, in my home or in the workplace, how can Peter say, absolutely, He careth for me? And it comes down to one word, you know. the word salvation. Whatever is happening, you may know as one who is a pilgrim and stranger who believes in God, that there is salvation from God through Jesus Christ, and that He has borne the one burden that you and I cannot bear. That's the burden of sin and the guilt of sin and the wrath of God for our sin. And because Jesus Christ has carried that burden of sin that we could not carry and cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, we may know that our salvation means this. Not that we won't suffer or have any persecution or trial, but that whatever it is, God will use it for our good and work all things to bring us finally to heaven. And then I hope that you all will agree with me that it's there in heaven that we will experience that we have no more burden. Even our littlest trials and our heaviest trials will be done away with. But won't you see now that this is the way to walk lightly tonight and in the week ahead. You don't have to carry your burdens on your own tonight, tomorrow. Go to God. Cast them upon Him, and you will say, "Ah, He careth for me." Amen. Father in heaven, we pray, carry us and our burdens. And we know that Thy promise is to do that, whether we know it or not. So our prayer, Father, is cause us to know it. Work in our hearts. Apply this word unto us by faith, that we may respond and that we may put away all pride, self-sufficiency. Put away all idols, anything else that we might rely upon in our burdens besides Thee. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt shoulder our burdens and us. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, through whom Thou hast carried away the burden of our sin, continue to lead us faithfully to the glory of heaven. Until then, carry us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.